Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, page 1027 in the Red Pew Bibles. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This, of course, is the account after the birth of Jesus, and now we see the announcement that was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, that in fact the time had come that Messiah was arriving. And so Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This was he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so we are in this season of Advent, which means preparing, time of preparation for what is coming. As I was meditating and thinking about this this week, it occurred to me that in a very real way, the very purpose of our whole existence here on earth is to prepare for what is to come, to prepare for the coming of Jesus, to one day take us to our real home, which is in heaven, to prepare for life hereafter, to prepare for where we will spend eternity. This is a very profound reality, if we think of it. The purpose of our lives is to prepare. And how this is contrasted with the views of the world, where everything about the world is focused on this day and this place and this time, trying to find our joy and our pleasure in the things of this world, when in fact we were not made for this world. We were made for another place. And one day, God willing, we will arrive at our true home. And so this is a time to prepare. And the words are consistently given through the scriptures about the time that God would send his Messiah, known as the Day of the Lord, and that that time would come with signs, with wonders. And so when we saw these signs, our part was to prepare for that coming. And so we heard from Isaiah chapter 40. This was written about 700 years before the birth of Christ, that God told the people to prepare. He also told them what they were preparing for, the coming of Messiah. The day would come, the prophet said, when their warfare would end and their iniquities would be pardoned. What a wonderful promise. The warfare would end and our iniquities would be pardoned. This is something that God would do. So what is our part? Our part is to prepare. Or another way of looking at it is to grease the skids, so to speak. It is a decision that we make. And so we're told in Isaiah that every valley or low place will be lifted up and every mountain will be brought low. That the level place will make it easy, a straight and narrow way for the Lord. The metaphor being in our own lives to get rid of the junk, the clutter, the obstacles that prevent that presence, that power of God being manifested in our lives, to simplify our lives, to devote our lives to God. And so this again is something that we do to prepare for that coming. And the prophet goes on to say that if we do not prepare for that coming, that we cannot save ourselves. To me, this is a very important point in everyone's life, to come to a point and realize I am not able to save myself. I need help beyond me. And so the prophet puts it this way, that all flesh is like grass, and all flowers of the field will fade away. That without God, we are like grass and the flowers that fade in the fields. We are not able to save ourselves, but God is able to save us. And in fact, God's promise is that he has saved us and will save us. And his Messiah will be the great shepherd, the good shepherd. He will tend his flock. He will carry us in his bosom. Very tender words of this salvation of God by his Messiah. This is the promised Messiah. And it is the fulfillment of Messiah that we now know is in the person of Jesus of Nazareth and what we are coming up to celebrate in the feast of Christmas. This is truly good news for a people who had been living in their iniquities and their sins, not knowing if there would ever be a time that they would be reconciled once again to God as Adam and Eve had been when they walked in the garden with him. So the promise was, yes, that day would come. Although God's timing is very different than ours, it would still be another 700 years before Messiah would actually appear on the earth. And yet we're told to prepare. The prophet Malachi revealed that before the day of the Lord would come, that God would send his prophet Elijah. This is the very last paragraph, I think it's even, of the Old Testament. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 says, before the great day of the Lord comes, I will send my prophet Elijah. And we're told later in Matthew chapter 11, verse 14, that in fact, that prophecy was fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist. Sounds a little strange, but this is the point that's made in the reading we heard from our gospel in Matthew, that John the Baptist appeared with a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. If we go back to 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8, there was a king there who was a very wicked king, was sending off to Beelzebub and Baal to ask for a miracle for healing because he was sick. And so he sends a servant off, and the servant runs into Elijah. And Elijah says, go back to the king and tell him this message. So he goes back to the king, and the king says, who was this guy who met you in the road? He says, well, he was wearing a garment of hair, and he had a leather belt. And the king says, oh, that was Elijah. So that's the same imagery we see now with John the Baptist. And again, even specifically in the words of Jesus later on, he would say, yes, John the Baptist is the fulfillment of the prophet Elijah coming before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So the timing in this is the fulfillment that had been promised all the way back from Adam and Eve, but particularly here we see in Isaiah. And so John's message was fourfold. First, that we need to prepare. Second, how we prepare. Third, what happens if we're not prepared? And then fourth, how can we know if we are prepared? First, we need to prepare now because, as we heard, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God, things are happening. And what was true back at that time, we say, well, but it's been 2,000 years since John the Baptist, you know, proclaimed that. Yes, and so we're always ready because for any one of us, the kingdom of heaven can be at hand at any day. And so the timing is now. We cannot wait for tomorrow. We need to prepare because the kingdom of God is at hand. How do we prepare? Well, we're told to prepare by repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This was the exact same message that Jesus gave when he started his ministry. A call to repentance, which means turning away from the things of the world to the things of the kingdom of God. And how difficult that is in our time. So to prepare by repentance and turning away from the world towards the things of God. What happens if we're not prepared? Well, this is the worst part of this whole passage here. If we're not prepared, we're told that we would be cut down, as the imagery is used, and we would be thrown into the unquenchable fire. And so that's a pretty dire consequence of not being prepared. The next thing, how do we know if we are prepared? And this is something he said to the Sadducees and Pharisees, is that we are to bear fruit that befits repentance, that shows repentance, that's an evidence of repentance. So it's not the fruits that give us salvation or bring us salvation, but it is the evidence of salvation. And so we are called to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. The question I would say there is, am I making a difference in the lives of people who are around me? Am I making a difference in the lives of people who are around me? Is the Holy Spirit working in me and through me to affect the lives of those people who are around me? That is bearing fruit. And so that is how we would know, in fact, if we are ready, if we see evidence in our lives of bearing fruit. We may not know this ourselves, but if we ask people around us, they would for sure let us know. To ask people, particularly who are close to us, and say, do you see me bearing fruit? Am I having an effect, you know, my faith having an effect on people around me? Those who are around us, they would know. So what is the application of this teaching, this prophecy of Isaiah, the fulfillment of that in the person of John the Baptist, and the very message that John the Baptist gives about repentance because the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Well, again, I get back to how I started. I believe that preparing properly or biblically begins with an attitude of believing that preparing for the world to come is the most important thing we do in our lives today. The most important thing we do in our lives today is to prepare for the coming of the Lord, for that day of where we will spend eternity. Does that mean we're not worried about the world today? No, I'm not saying that. Certainly, as we are prepared for the world to come, God's Spirit is working in us to affect the world in which we live now. But our primary focus should be looking ahead and expecting that we're going to be with God for eternity, and then, you know, be prepared for that eventuality on the day that it comes. Now, this is so contrary to the world. And that's why it's so difficult for us, because I think we get so ingrained in the things of the world, even some things that are good. I had that sense in celebrating Thanksgiving. I continue to think each year. In a way, it's kind of regrettable, I think, that Thanksgiving was supposed to be a national day of giving thanks. And yet we've turned it into a day of getting together with family and eating lots of turkey. Now, is that a bad thing? No, absolutely not. It's a great thing. You know, we love getting together with family, and Thanksgiving was always very special when I was growing up. But the thing is that, you know, the purpose of this was to give thanks to God, that we as people would gather together and spend a whole day. Now, thankfully, we do have other days that we honor what we call a National Day of Thanksgiving. But originally, it was supposed to be this day, a Thursday in November, that the nation, this goes all the way back to George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And so we've kind of lost that. I think as we're looking ahead to Christmas, in a sense, a similar thing also applies, I think, that the greatest part of Christmas, when you think of it, is not only eating, but the giving and receiving of gifts. You know, what is on our mind more than anything is who we have, and we've got to buy some gifts, and, you know, what are people asking us, well, what do you want for Christmas, and are we getting decorations ready? I mean, there's a lot that has to go on to get ready for, to prepare for Christmas, which is giving gifts and decorating and baking and all those things. But what about preparing our hearts for the coming of Christ? I was raised, again, not in a way that was told to me, but I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, and it was really a kind of a rite of passage when you got old enough to be able to go to midnight mass. Any of you who raised Catholic, that was the thing, because what happened is they would have midnight mass, start at midnight, and that was the time that you could go and stay up late enough. So it wasn't until I was like 7 or 8 years old, but I can remember how excited I was. Of course, the other downside was you found out then that there is no Santa Claus, because it was mom and dad who were putting all the gifts out. But to get and to go to midnight mass, because, again, this wasn't said to me, but this was the perception I received, because let's get church out of the way so we can focus on the gifts. Let's get church done with, get it done. You know, at midnight, okay, we go to bed, we know, we wake up in the morning, all we have to think about is getting those gifts, right, and seeing other people open other gifts. And how you say, was that a bad thing? No, it's not a bad thing. But it certainly is the one way that the world has kind of crept into, you know, our faith in ways that are very subtle. Very subtle. And so it is very contrary to the world, which says that our focus in this life is on this life. Whereas what the Bible says is, no, our focus on things above, not on things below. Another analogy that I would use is being in high school. You know, while we're in high school, we know that we're always preparing for something that's going to come after high school. Preparing to go to college or preparing for some kind of a job or employment, a way we're going to, you know, make some money. And so it was always about preparing. And we knew one day we're going to graduate and we're going to go out into the world and start, you know, living our lives. Could you imagine a high school student who says, I don't want to graduate. I just want to stay in high school all the time. And maybe some of us felt that. You know, we enjoy the activities and so forth. But you know, could you imagine a high schooler saying that and say, well, no, that's crazy. You know, you're not here to be in high school all the time. You're in high school to prepare for what comes later, which is the continuation of your life. I really think that analogy is very close to what we think in this world, that our idea is we are meant to focus on the things of this world, when in fact what God is saying, no, it's what comes after this that is really important, because what comes after this is what is eternal. So that's a really big thing, I think, a change in our paradigm, our way of thinking, to say, what is this world about? It's about preparing for that which comes next. Now again, as we prepare for that, certainly it has an impact on our lives here and now. But first and foremost, it's that being ready for the coming of the Lord and for our own going home to be with the Lord. It is our reason for being here, and it changes our view on everything that goes on in our lives when we have that. Now, what does this preparation involve? Just a couple thoughts I would give on that is it involves, I think, an attitude of humility, which comes from thanksgiving. As we give more thanks to God, we realize how much He has done for us. And as we realize that, we start to realize, my goodness, everything I have has come from God. And that's kind of humbling. That leads us to humility. Another way I would say is an attitude of obedience, which means being in the Word of God and understanding what does God require of us. And that's revealed to us in His Word. This is a decision that we make, to be obedient, to be in the Word of God and say, I'm going to do things God's way, not the ways of the world. And so I offer that attitude of humility and an attitude of obedience. And all of this comes in the midst of an enemy's efforts to destroy us, to distract us, and to confuse us. And that's just another thing. It's not only the world that we're fighting, but there are actually evil forces out there. They're trying to destroy us. One thing just occurred to me again this week as I was going through things and realizing there's just a lot of people just dealing with a lot of stuff. And I had this thought, what if Satan were to come to us and say, you're really starting to get serious about this religion stuff and starting to upset me. You're starting to impact some of the people around you, and I'm really struggling with that because that's the last thing I want. So I tell you what, if you'll back off and you'll just quiet yourself a bit, I'll leave you alone. What would we say? What would our response be?
Get behind me, Satan.
Get behind me, Satan. That temptation is there, isn't it? If I just back off, if I just quiet things down a little bit, I don't have to be zealous for God. I mean, there's other people who could be zealous for God. Just back off. Take it easy. Maybe the devil will leave me alone. That's kind of a sobering thought. And we need to rebuke that and say, no, that is get behind me, Satan. That's a great response. And so here we are trying to live out the ways of the kingdom of God, not only in a world that does not follow that, but also when there are these other forces there that are trying to confuse us and distract us. And so ultimately, it is not we who are able to do this, which is why the other promise of John the Baptist was very, very important, that when Messiah comes, he will baptize us in the Holy Spirit. He will immerse us. That's what that word means. He will immerse us in his Holy Spirit. Because otherwise we would not be able to do those things that we're able to do except by the Spirit of God. As Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But with me, you can do all things. And so we very much believe to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. I once heard someone say, by the way, if you were to read the Bible without knowing Christianity as we were raised in it, and you read this passage, you would think that the primary purpose of Messiah was to baptize us all in the Holy Spirit. And I look at that and yes, that's right. That's what John said. The Messiah is going to come. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to immerse you in the Holy Spirit. And I think, wow, what a different teaching that is. I was never taught that. But it just gives such a sense, again, that it's not about me. It's about letting God work in me and through me to accomplish these things. Now, the other thing I think about being prepared is that there can be a joy in the midst of this. And the joy, I think, is having a confidence that, in fact, I am prepared. I don't know how some of you feel, but I talk to people and they, have a fear of dying, particularly in my family. Again, we were raised, Catholic, and was always wondering, have I been good enough? Have I been good enough? And so we never know. But we believe we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So the question is not, have I been good enough, but is my heart right with God in Jesus Christ? Not my life is perfect, but is my heart right in Jesus Christ? And so if we have that confidence of knowing that I'm committed, my life is not perfect, but I'm committed to the Lord, I'm trying to follow his ways as best I can, that gives us this confidence. Again, there's a joy that comes with it. Think of other analogies to it. I think, again, maybe going back to high school, and I'm not sure how often this was for any of us, but if we were taking a test, had a test coming up, what a horrible feeling it is to go into a test knowing that you're not ready. Remember that horrible feeling? It's kind of gut-wrenching. Like, oh my goodness, I should have studied more. I should not. And you're starting to take it and you realize, oh, but I'm not ready for this. And you know right away, I should have prepared more. On the other hand, it happens a few times in my life that I felt, no, I'm really ready for this test. I've studied. I've gone over the notes. I'm really ready for this. Or maybe a job interview we go into. I'm prepared for this. I'm confident. I know what I can do. I can go into this job interview and I can be confident. Doesn't it make all the difference in the world? When you have a sense of knowing that you're prepared as we are called to be. I believe that's possible for heaven. That we can have a sense just of knowing Jesus in my heart, being into the Word of God, coming together and celebrating, the worship of God. That truly we can say, yeah, I'm ready. If it were to happen today, I'm ready because I know the Lord and the Lord knows me. I've received him as my Lord and Savior, and I do my best to live out that life. That is truly bearing fruit that befits repentance, that befits turning from the ways of the world. As I've said many times, who decides whether we go to heaven or not? Who decides whether we go to heaven or not? I do. I do. It's a decision we make. It's something that God does, but it's a decision that we make to make our hearts ready to be prepared for the Lord. And so I would just offer a sense as we think about preparing, the whole idea of preparing for that day, that this really is the focus of our lives. Are we ready today, any day, any hour? And then to know the confidence that yes, I am ready. And the joy that comes with that of knowing that what's waiting for us on the other side is beyond our wildest expectations. So, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. The King is calling us to turn from the ways of the world to the ways of his kingdom. And there is a joy that will be ours as we accomplish that. My brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's upon us. Truly the best is yet to come. God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in a prayer? In Jesus' name, amen and amen.